Welcome to the Pro-Life Team podcast. I'm here with Gerard Mijan, along with Suzanne. And today, we're going to be hearing about Gerard's story. his journey into this pro-life space. Gerard, would you tell us a little bit about your backstory and what brought you into this space?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jacob. Great to meet you. And Susan, great to see you. So I'm going to start with addressing the elephant in the room, which I hear a lot is, why is a man in charge of natural womanhood? And to make a long story short, my wife and I discovered natural family planning late in our marriage, in 2007. And at that time, I thought the world needed to know about it. Now, through this work, I realized it's much more than an issue of family planning, and I'll get to that, because natural womanhood's vocation is much larger than this area. But to give you a little more background about myself, I grew up in France in a Catholic family and in a small dairy farm in the eastern part of France. And in my teenagers, I left the church, and I grew up like many young French people as Catholic. Left the church, lived my life like, not basically, essentially an agnostic. And then I met my wife, who is from Illinois. And as we were both teaching in China, we got married in France. We returned to the U.S. in 1994 after our two children were born, and then lived in Atlanta and then moved to Texas. But it's in Georgia that I had a conversion moment. For a while, joined the Protestant church. I was in the Protestant church for a number of years. My wife grew up Baptist, actually, and is still, Christian, non-Catholic Christian. But in 2007 is when I reverted to the Catholic faith, and that's where I had made this discovery of natural family planning. So this was really quite a moment for us. It was late in our marriage, so it was not like it's really something that had a huge impact in terms of the way we saw our family planning. We tried at that time. We said, maybe we can have more children, but it didn't happen. But I realized that this was a very well kept secret that could have had impacted our marriage a lot earlier. And I realized that so many young families need to have this information and this support. Now, I mentioned earlier that this was more than family planning. And I'm going to speak to the big elephant in the room, because I know not all the pro-life leaders are Catholic. And it's not about theology. But what we realize is that the issue of pro-life, while natural womanhood doesn't speak really about abortion very much, or issues of legal and advocacy, and we are a very pro-life organization. What we see, and this is a very powerful study that was published in the Lineker Quarterly, which is the peer-reviewed journal of the Catholic Medical Association. In 2018, they published this study that explained that teen girls who are on contraception compared to those who are not are 3 times more likely to have an STD, 3 times more likely to be engaged, have sexual relationship outside marriage, and 10 times more likely to have an abortion. And that's based on the National Survey of Family Growth, which is one of the most robust studies that exist in this area about sexual lifestyle and activities in the U.S. So these are numbers are big, and they contradict the idea that if young women are on the pill, they're gonna spare them from abortion. So this is not I'm not talking about theology. Our approach as natural womanhood, from the beginning, has been like, we need to address the science. We need to accompany and help young women and women couples to learn about this area. So I'm going to stop here. There's so much more I could speak about. But I hope we can talk about a little bit about what's happening with marriages, what's happening with IVF issues, what's happening with young women. We're doing a lot of work. So I'll stop here.
Yeah. Yeah, Suzanne, do you have a follow-up question? If not, I've got one prepared.
Go ahead, Jacob, please.
Oh, sure. So the primary audience of this podcast would be pregnancy clinic leaders.
Yes.
And I would say about one-third of the pregnancy clinics are Catholic, one-third are evangelical, and the rest are both, like a hybrid of half Catholic, half evangelical. How do you – and it seems like the need is for people to be aware, awareness of natural family planning, and then also having like a practicality of how to – well, learning how to do natural family planning. Mm-hmm. How do you see pregnancy clinics using this education with their clients, both women and couples? How do you see that, you know, really being best provided to their clients?
So to be honest, like, this is not an expertise we have at Natural Womanhood, because we've worked more. So that, let me just go back a little bit. The two areas we've worked on so far was proactively. First is created an online magazine. So we have a website with over 1,100 articles, ranging from body literacy, so teaching young women about their bodies, the science of their bodies, health, lifestyle, and so on, to family planning, natural family planning methods, options, to the dangers of contraception, which is a huge factor to speak about, to young women in crisis pregnancy centers. So we have the largest library of articles with science-based, again, evidence-based studies that show the various risks of, you know, whether it's a copper IUD that's supposed to be natural, to Depo-Provera, to the pill, all those documented risk factors that the world need to know about it. And so that was, you know, still a very big part of our work. We also have a whole area speaking about issues of reproductive health that are not addressed necessarily very well by doctors in the general, you know, the general medical area, but that are can be addressed by doctors who are specialized in method like NAPRO technology or FEM or neofertility to restore the woman's body. So dealing with infertility, for example. Avoiding IVF, and I have stories about that. That's very powerful. And then finally, speaking about pregnancy, delivery, and postpartum options, again, educating women. So this is our magazine. We had about 1 million unique readers last year. We're in English and Spanish. So this is a resource that we want to make sure that all crisis pregnancy centers know about, because that's an information source they can pass on. And we see that. That's one of the big things. All our articles are not religious, again, and so they have stories that can inspire and help young women, for example, just simply get off contraception because it's so dangerous, right? Or has so many side effects. So it's naturalwomanhood.org. Now, the second big area we have is education of young women. So we have two programs for that. One is called Period Genius, to help parents teach their daughters about the science and beautiful process of the female body, again in a scientific way, but also in a way that's positive, that empowers young women to think that, oh, my body is good and has a purpose. It's mm-hmm. not just bleeding and pain and so on. So that's the online program. Yes,
Susan? Could you repeat the name of that online program?
Yes, it's called Period Genius. If you Google Period Genius or do periodgenius.com, mm-hmm. You'll be able to find that program.
Thank you.
It's a series of 10 videos that are very family friendly, user friendly. We have guides as well, so parents can a mom doesn't have to be informed, equipped to do that, to like knowledgeable about the science, because that's a big roadblock. The roadblock that we see is moms have never been taught this mm-hmm. very well, and so. It's very scary. It's nerve-wracking. They're embarrassed. So what we recommend is that watch it for yourself, because first, as a mom, you're going to learn so much. And we have moms that say, this really healed me. This empowered me to know this level of information about my bodies and why I feel certain way, certain ways at certain times, how to take better care of myself and so on. But it's also for their daughters. and allows communication between mom and daughters in this area, which is critical. I mean, like, you're talking about a pro-life movement. Get moms and daughters to speak about these personal things where mom has a positive view of their of our bodies and a positive and confidence about, you know, that she doesn't need the pill and that, that, you know, her body is good and there's a purpose for it, and pass that on to her daughter. This is, to me, the change of heart that the pro-life movement needs, right? Yes. So teach the moms first on that, and then the daughter. And crisis pregnancy centers can use this. We also we piloted a program where we license it to the crisis pregnancy centers. We have one center use it so far, but I think we're re-engineering that a little bit, and we're going to relaunch that in the fall. But it's a very, you know, that's one way I think we can help crisis pregnancy centers so they can do outreach to their community with this information through a workshop, through maybe online classes, or just promoting it to their mom. The second program to teach girls about their cycles is called Cycle Mindfulness Clubs. So this is addressing an older audience. So those are young women who are in college typically, or maybe a little older. And the concept is it's a peer-led support group to help young women learn about the science and health of their cycles, again, in a positive way, in a scientific way, but positive, in the context of a support group by learning to track their, to chart their cycle, which is a big aha moment for them. So this is a life-changing endeavor or activity, because they get to know personally what's going on with their bodies, and especially in this very personal area, what is happening with their fertility and their cycles, right? So it's not this mystery anymore, and it's still always a level of mysteries because it's such an amazing area, but it's not so much of a mystery to where they regain some control. So one study we did, ongoing study, we've been working with college students for the past 4 years, what the data has shown us is that 70 to 80% of these young women, when they start the club, are not at peace and don't feel in control about their cycle. Mm-hmm. So they're not at peace with their cycle, which is a big deal, right? It's like they have a distorted relationship with their own bodies, which has, and we could talk more about that, has a huge impact on prolapse. So those are a couple of things that we're doing that we now can work a little bit more with Crisis Pregnancy Center. We had actually last year, we had one of our club member was a team member of a PRC. And so this is something that we're exploring as well. Most of our club leaders have been college students, you know, junior or senior college students that we train. So just a couple of things. I wanted to give also, there's another organization that is more specialized than us in the same field. And the founder worked for us last year to help do some consulting for us. And you might know it. If not, you should interview her as well. It's Katie Vidmar, and her organization is Elevate. Specialized in doing, you know, teaching fertility awareness or helping Crisis Pregnancy Center or PRCs adopt these programs and engage with, you know, she has a very specific program for pregnancy centers. So I just want to mention her as well. I think it's elevate.com. Anyways.
Excellent.
Awesome. So Gerard, I've got a question for you. How did God draw you into this work, and where have you seen his fingerprints, or, you know, where has he showed up as you have been working in this direction?
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, the fact that I'm here today, is even alive today, is a God thing, given my past. And I mean, just a conversion is the first place, right? So God speaking to me at a time of distress in my life, in my family, and just creating a turnaround. So the first turnaround was when I came back to church and started going to a a Sunday school in a Baptist church. Completely miraculous, given that my culture as a Frenchman. It was just amazing. So that was really the beginning, followed by 10 years of changing kind of my vision and start working in nonprofit, in education, was involved in a Christian school for a long time. And then another shift, that's the entry of the Catholic Church. And it's interesting because, our brothers and sisters Christian are so strong, and I have a lot of understanding and respect for their faith and their values. But for some reason, I really did not feel or have an exposure to the question of pro-life and abortion until I came back to the Catholic Church. Now, the way it happened is, it's very funny. I was driving. We had converted. I mean, I had returned to the Catholic Church. It was about Christmas. We had just moved to San Antonio. And I was like, okay, it's about Christmas. I would like to do during this Christmas break some volunteering with our kids. Mm-hmm. And so I turn on Catholic radio and in my car. I can still see myself. And I hear this pitch from a local PRC, the leader, saying, "We are looking for volunteers this Christmas, during this Christmas time. Would you, just call Terry?" So I called, and here we are in the crisis pregnancy center. Our kids are folding clothes, and it happens that we have a very quick training. Terry, she just, and then there comes a client. And so my wife and I guide that client, and I'll never forget, she had been raped. I'm going to get emotional here. and she was coming, thinking, I'm going to get help for this. And, and thinking, she wanted an abortion. And she changed her mind through, the process, and then Terry coming, we called Terry, she's like, "Hey, would you talk to her?" and stuff. And it was just powerful, right? Wow. So for 5 years, I was involved in the pro-life work in more of a board capacity and volunteer. But that was kind of the, one step. But that was also the year we discovered natural family planning. And then Christopher West came to San Antonio to speak about TOB, and I was like, "Wow, this is incredible, right?" Yeah. So I think there is God was really planting seeds in getting me on board, and through friends. So the other thing I want to say is that reverting to the Catholic faith, I've really discovered the power of prayer, and so I've learned a very strong discipline of prayer, and that has been such a powerful way to deal with crisis, deal with challenges. I mean, starting a nonprofit from scratch is huge, and I don't think I could not have done it with his help. So we incorporated in 2012. So 5 years after we moved to San Antonio, we've been growing ever since. I was doing it on the side until COVID happened. And after COVID in 2021, I became employee and full time. And so it's been growing ever since. So God is good all the time, right?
All the time.
Awesome. What's the name of the pregnancy clinic in Austin?
San Antonio. San Antonio.
Oh, San Antonio. That's right. Yeah.
I like Women's Center.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, Suzanne, what question do you have as a follow-up?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I just want to thank you again, Gerard, for sharing that story. And it really mm-hmm. helps me, get a sense of where you're coming from. And it's beautiful. I want to echo something that you mentioned about why are men interested in this topic. And mm-hmm. I want to ask another question. Why do we all have gray hair, no hair? Why hasn't this change? Why aren't we moving forward? It takes so long. And I agree, prayer is essential, but sometimes I just get so impatient.
Okay.
I want it yesterday.
Yes. So here's the hope. Okay. I'm the oldest, And I'm the only guy in natural womanhood, right? Just awesome. Just so.
That is.
And what's beautiful, so I mentioned the work of the club. So we have 28 clubs this year. We started with 4 years ago with 3 clubs as a pilot, right? And we've been growing ever since. Our goal is to have 45 clubs, to train 45 leaders actually in June. So if you know anyone who is interested, it's, you know, go on our website and search Psycho Mindfulness Club, or you go under Get Involved, it's under naturalwomanhood.org, and you can put that in the notes, but it's Psycho Mindfulness Clubs. But what I see is that this huge transformation. I mentioned how, you know, this young woman have, when they come in, they have, you know, almost 80% have no confidence. And now when they leave, it's the reverse. 80% are very confident, or confident or very confident about their fertility and their cycle. They share how they, you know, they give themselves more grace, understand what's going on with their bodies at different times of the cycle. Mm-hmm. They know what's normal, what's not normal, how to get involved, where to go to find the good help for it. They are, you know, empowered and confident as a woman. I mean, we've had that where they go from, I hate my body, to, I finally understand what it means to be a woman.
Yes.
And so it's a much more than a healthcare issue. And the way it plays out in a pro-life, I've learned from, there's a Vitae Institute. I know if you're probably familiar with the Vitae Institute. They do a lot of research on pro-life. And they did this wonderful research about understanding the deeper motivation of young women. You know, that why do they want an abortion? And the deeper motivation is they're not, it's not economy very much. I mean, that's, you know, it's not like, oh, I can't afford it. It's like, this is an interruption of my life, and I don't see myself as a woman. Mm. I don't see, so don't talk to me about diapers. Don't talk to me about, it's more about like, I want to continue my life like it was, because I don't, this is my, I've been formed already that to be on a pill, to be on, you know, to control my life externally.
Yes.
And not see the very deep meaning about internally, that what's going on with my body and what's, and so to keep control, I'm going to go from the pill that didn't work to an abortion. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that is the process, which is the process, the business plan for Planned Parenthood, by the way. That is a process that needs to be changed. And to change that, it is critical that these young women understand, are educated in their bodies. So we need to equip moms, we need to equip young adults to have that better understanding. Susan, you were involved with Teen Star, right?
Yes.
You understand that as well, right? It's a wonderful, beautiful work of
Thank
Teen
you.
Star that's been doing that for schools all over the world. It's critical. And I think this is the moment. Right, like now it's very hard, like you mentioned, Jacob, you're trying to help with the abortion pill. It's very hard to kind of like, wow, where is this going?
Yeah.
It's a good moment, because it's also an evangelization, a really more an evangelization moment, where now instead of pushing something, we are accompanying. Not that we don't need crisis pregnancy centers anymore. We still do this. They're a wonderful organization that do a lot of accompaniment and have this. I mean, I've experienced it. I know how powerful and beautiful it is. But we also need to go to the next step, which is bringing that knowledge and that empowerment to young women.
Yes. And
so
you mentioned education.
I forgot what the question was.
Well, you mentioned education earlier.
Yeah.
And I think that is so, so key. Obviously, that was part of the background that you had to bring to this Natural Womanhood project. I guess what I'm interested in is whether you've noticed, or if you know of anyone who's doing research on women who are familiar with their fertility, and whether or not they're less likely, you know, to get an STD, to have sex outside marriage, to seek an abortion. I really am interested to know if people are actually doing research on the benefits, if they're there.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you know what the research we've quoted in the past is Teen Star research, right?
Uh-huh.
It's the work that they did in Chile with high school students, right?
Mm-hmm.
To show that the high school students who were even sexually active before I stopped, and from the program of education, which again, it's not just okay the basic of the body. It's charting, right? So
yes.
Getting a young woman to understand personally at a personal level what's happening with her body, and so
yes.
That is the best data we have. Other than that, we know very little, really, in terms of, I mean,
yes.
My hope is we have data from, again, our program, right,
mm-hmm.
which is surveys, and my hope is that as we expand, we're able to partner with universities to get this more, you know, some scientific mm-hmm. Support for showing that impact.
It's an area for research, for sure. And
yeah.
And speaking of statistics, I remember when we first introduced the ultrasound to crisis
yes.
pregnancy centers, and there
yes.
was a huge increase in the number of babies saved. As I recall,
yes.
there were figures as high as 80%.
Yep.
And you mentioned that, you know, women don't see themselves as a mother. You know, they're pregnant, but they just don't see themselves. And that showed them. They got
yep.
the picture.
Yes.
Literally and figuratively.
That's it.
Right. And here's the way I would describe it, you know, being a nurse and having worked at a pregnancy center, that showed them their anatomy. But
mm-hmm.
as an educator, we know that anatomy is only half the picture. The
yeah.
other part is the physiology. How does this anatomy work?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's what the fertility awareness teaches women.
Yes.
So they don't come in and see, oh, I'm a mother. What they realize way ahead of time is I can choose that.
Yes.
I can choose that when it works best for me.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's a huge learning. I mean, it's interesting. I hear a lot is, you know, women who are like a big aha moment and then they're kind of angry because like, why didn't you somebody tell me before? Right.
Yes.
It's such a gift. And instead they've been put on the pill often for 10 years, right? They had
mm-hmm.
endometriosis, they had PCOS. Again, another area, and that's an area that, you know, organization like Guiding Star and the Jana Centers and all that, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
creating clinics that are more you know, global, like not just treating the pregnancy, but also helping with women's health in a way that's restorative.
Yes.
So the entire, you know, so that I think helps. It's complicated. It's more complicated. It's more, and you know, investment, but I think it's another big part of the future of, you know, the movement in terms
yes.
of empowering
yes.
and healing the culture.
And it lines up with what's happening in healthcare across the
yes.
board, which is focused,
right.
you know, on more holistic care,
right.
Emphasis on preventative medicine, as opposed to
right.
let's fix it after it's broken, you know,
right.
Medicare funds, preventative wellness visits for all the seniors. And I'm thinking
yeah.
too little, too late. We need to get,
yeah.
we need to get in
yeah.
there. This would be part of something that young people would definitely benefit.
We had a beautiful story in our podcast, in our website. That's the last article that we published yesterday. It's a young woman who learned, actually she knew about, you know, she learned Creighton and she got married and, you know, everything's great, you know, we're not getting pregnant right away and stuff. But, you know, then we're not getting pregnant now. Okay, we're not.
Uh-huh.
And so she started worrying. And,
uh-huh.
you know, it only took her 6 months to get help, to get.
Yes.
You know, okay, so let's look at that. And she got support for it. And she, you know, had a better understanding of what she had an imbalance in progesterone. And
mm-hmm.
so that got help, and she got, you know, got pregnant. You know, that's a huge difference from
yes.
what happens typically, which is
yes.
well, keep trying for a year, and then a year, this, you know, well, very likely, you know, some talk about ART or IVF,
yes,
right? And
yeah.
and then the whole cycle, and it's such more life giving when you the approach that we're promoting at Natural Womanhood is. You know, let's help the body. Let's restore the mom's health.
Yes.
Is,
yes.
You know, we want a healthy mom to have a healthier baby. In
yeah.
fact, the data shows that, you know, the baby is born through IVF, and it's not condemnation of anyone who's done it. And, you know, a baby is a gift, and it's Mm-hmm. I know the moms who need that or who sought that really had good reasons for it. But it's there are much higher risk of premature babies and issues, health issues, and for the moms because it's not a natural restoration of the body. It's bypassing the natural functioning. So the approach we promote, which is called restorative reproductive medical protocols, again, NAPRO technology, FEM, or neofertility, are the first concept is understanding what is behind the lack of fertility, whether it's a male fertility or female fertility, and then bringing treatments, whether it's sometimes it's a hormone treatment, sometimes it's surgery because it's endometriosis or PCOS, but those are the different approach, and it works. It's not 100%, like nothing's 100%.
Right.
It's very effective, and we can claim as effective as the IVF at least.
And I heard from some IVF physicians who have left that practice.
Yes.
That we don't bypass the body. If there's, like, for example, if we have heart problems, we don't bypass the heart. We try to fix the heart as opposed to IVF, which completely bypasses the normal, again, anatomy and physiology. Yeah. Gerard, I had a question for you as well about, you had said that some of the CPCs or crisis pregnancy centers are utilizing your Period Genius videos.
Yeah.
And I've heard of this thing called Learn to Earn, where the parents or the clients are asked to take classes in, fertility or family life, that kind of thing, sexuality. Yep. And then they earn like coupons to spend on materials for their baby. And I'm wondering how you'd feel about maybe suggesting that this class, Period Genius, be added to one of those classes that the clients can take.
That would be wonderful. I'm not familiar with the problem. I know that in Texas, for instance, there are grants and the state helps pregnancy centers to educate moms and parents in general, and that there are some subsidies for that or some grants. I was not familiar with the Learn to Earn, but for sure, yeah, that would be be happy to provide the program for that purpose and help.
Seems like a good fit.
So the Earn While You Learn program is it started a long time ago. I think it started in the 80s, I suppose, because it used to be on VHS tapes.
Okay.
And today it's run through, it's been run through the same group the whole time called Heritage House.
Okay.
And now it's called Bright Course, where people take the classes and they can even get, the clients can get a text with a link to the video.
Uh-huh.
And then going through the video, they may have to answer the quiz.
Yep.
And there's usually a series. And the whole point is for them to get education. And then in response, they get the coupons to spend in the store to buy baby goods.
Yes.
And items and clothing for their baby.
Yep.
And so essentially they're earning while they're earning while learning.
Does Heritage House produce all of the courses, or do they source out other?
They both. So they work with a wide range of experts to create content. They do a lot. Actually, they shoot a lot of the videos in Snowflake, Arizona. But then you can shoot a video anywhere as well, and then work with Pam Stenzel at Heritage House to get it into their library, and then you would actually get compensated based on views.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have a video that people enjoy and then want to watch and share, and for clinic directors to want to or the clinic teams to send to their clients to get use, because based on the volume of traffic, that's how they compensate the different contributors.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm actually familiar with Bright Course, and I've talked to Pam. Now they have actually, I was mentioning Elevate earlier. So Katie Widmar did create a great course on fertility awareness on there. So I recommend that definitely as an introduction for parent for adults. Right, this is very good material to help young moms
This is on the Bright Course.
Yeah, on the Bright Course. Yeah.
I'm so happy to hear that, because one of our problems is if we have a, you know, a younger teenager who comes in with a scare, finds out she's not pregnant, then she's relieved and we never see her again. Whereas if we could, you know, encourage her to take a look at these materials.
So with Bright Course, it's the way that the videos can be sent is via SMS using HopeSync. That's a really, and then that way it's on her phone and then she can see it. And, you know, the conversation history can be kept on her phone via SMS. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pretty convenient way to provide those, you know, better than email or phone calls.
Yes. Yeah. We could give her something besides diapers and bottles, you know, something, maybe a call.
We're working on some new series. I know Pam's been very, they're doing a lot of changes to their course. But we're in conversations about, you know, possibly doing some things together, and love to do more for sure.
And Gerard, have you had more information about how, when girls learn about their cycles, that they're not only understanding their fertility better, but it helps them regulate their emotional world?
Very much, right? So one of the big things that we see is, you know, again, I was talking about the 20-80% shift. It's the same thing with, I understand why I feel a certain way at different times of my cycle. So again, like only 20% know that at the beginning, and at the end, it's 80% understand. And what we love the quote, like, I give myself more grace.
Yes.
Right?
That's
and it becomes much more part of their life. Like, okay, this is why I feel this way. We even had a couple of stories. One is this young woman, she works for us now. And that's the question you were asking about the gray hair. Okay. What I think is one of the things that's really beautiful about I'm so blessed, the work we're doing with those clubs is that now, I mean, those young women are so empowered and so personally, solid.
Yeah.
This formation is more than just for their health. Like, they become really strong professional. And so we have, one works for Ascension Press, or, you know, one works for Catholic Vote. I mean, like, we have two that are working for us, and it's like, man, we're so good. And so they're the future. This is in 10 years, I firmly believe that this organization is going to be led by former leaders of the Cycle Mindfulness Club.
Yes.
So that's something I want to say, like, yeah, the new generation is taking over, and they're amazing. I hope, they're taking. So we're not, we can retire in a few years. I hope
it's on the horizon. It's on the horizon.
But so where was? I lost my train of thought. We were talking about.
What were we talking about? Well, mostly just trying to get this information to young people sooner.
You
mentioned the SMS messaging, which, you know, great idea. I just said, I think we need to figure out coupons that don't apply to diapers and bottles or whatever, you know, let's give them a latte or something. So, I guess the thing I'm thinking is, this is not as exciting as working in pro-life clinics, because when you work in a pro-life clinic, you're usually meeting women in crisis.
Yeah.
And what I hear you saying, Gerard, is that when women understand their bodies, that they're only fertile 1/4 of the month and not even all of their lifetime, that they're mastering that. And that gives them confidence, and that gives them emotional stability in a way that you just can't find anywhere else.
Right. You know, that to your point is that, it's the analogy of diabetes, for example, right? So a lot of help and care, it comes to people who are in crisis, mm-hmm. right? And it's good, you know, to have all these systems and all that. But it's also a lot of funding that goes with that.
Yes.
And it's a lot harder to get people motivated about prevention.
Yes. You know,
but boy, it is needed. And we know it works.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, how do you educate? And so we have a change there that's happening, but it's still like, you know, that's where I feel like we fall. Like, you know, how do I get someone very excited about, oh, you need to teach young women about their cycles and train them to chart? And it's like, okay, but they're not, you know, they're not crying for help. And they're hiding it, actually. They're not, that's the thing. It's like they don't even necessarily know that they need it. So it's this whole work of, you know, bringing them along. It's and bringing along the parent, right? Break that. So it's very important, and it's not easy. It's costly. Mm-hmm. We've been able to do it at a very, I would say, a shoestring budget. But to really, you know, it's going to need really a lot more support to be able to do that very well.
It's time consuming.
On a larger scale.
Yes, and it's time consuming. And like any kind of education, you know, the rewards aren't immediate.
Right.
You have to trust in your student that they will take this knowledge and use it.
Yeah.
And
you were talking about the, you know, the understanding of the cycle in different times. And that was giving me, that was the story I wanted to speak to about is athletes. So we had the young woman who works for us now, who, when she was in high school, she was run track, mm-hmm. and so she thought she should get on a diet to be skinnier, to be, you know, more, you know, better at track. And so she studied losing weight, and she lost her period. She actually turned into more of even an obsession for her, and so she had all these issues with. Mm-hmm. And then finally, she realized, you know, learn about charting, learn about our cycle, and there was a lot of healing that happened, and started gaining weight, and she said, you know, she wrote an article because she works with, again, like she, for us, it's like, you know, gaining 10 pounds made me a better athlete because she works with our cycle. So it was a really a huge shift.
Yeah.
And so it's an example of a story, right? So you again, work with your body. Those young women understand, when they understand that, it gives them so much more power.
Yes, it can change the whole direction of their lives, really.
Yeah, actually, the soccer team, the women's soccer team, for a while, I don't know if they still do that, but the U.S. women's soccer team, mm-hmm. when they won the World Cup, what is it, 8 years ago, that they were charting, they were using the charts and the cycle to better understand when, how to adjust the their training. So
yes.
The coach was. You remember that? It's amazing, right?
I think I remember that was utilized as another tool of understanding.
Yes.
There's one of the doctors that I knew at Stanford years ago who actually helped formulate the birth control pill, Dr. Carl Girasi. He was a chemist at Stanford. And
I remember.
He wrote an article that he believed that every woman should know where they are in their cycle as a matter of routine health information. So fertility awareness, he called this article, was fertility awareness : a jet age rhythm. So meaning that rhythm hadn't worked. It was based on calendars, but fertility awareness would bring it personal to that woman, her symptoms this day. And then looking at it in the context of each, you know, each month. So
it is
definitely not rhythm. Rhythm didn't work.
No.
So that's why I think a lot of folks, that's why they have maybe a misunderstanding of fertility awareness, because they're not the same thing. This is, like you said, based.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Based.
Yeah. So modern methods of natural family planning, fertility awareness are much more effective because they help women track their signs, and we should have maybe started with that. I don't know how people are familiar, but the concept is very simple. Is there are biomarkers that helps identify when a woman is actually ovulating, which is ovulation being the most important event in the cycle. It's not periods. And then, so understanding that, so the biomarkers are either typically most often cervical mucus or cervical fluid, which changes texture and substance as a woman approaches ovulation and then stop being produced or visible, and then temperature is another sign that can be observed, and then there are urine markers too. So, I mean, a hormone in the urine that can be marked, that can be also measured. So these are key biomarkers and different methods use different ones and different approaches. But the idea, the concept is understanding where woman is in our cycle, what's the fertile window, which is 5 to 7 days. It's not the entire cycle. She cannot be fertile there during the entire cycle. And if she's, you know, she and her husband are trying to avoid pregnancy, then they know when to abstain and when to engage in intercourse based on that knowledge. Or if they're trying to get pregnant, actually to help them a lot to achieve pregnancy faster. Yes.
That's one of the benefits of fertility awareness. It can be used to achieve or postpone pregnancy. Yes. You don't have to stop something and withdraw from something. You know, you can just use the method to whatever it is that you you and your husband, you know, discern for your family.
Right. So, and we see that, you know, so there's a movement also going on around that. A lot more women are interested and in learning. I mean, it's grown a lot.
Yes.
Even though it's still like, I think data I heard is about 3% of women use it, but it's what from 1%. Like it's a huge shift, right? It's grown in the past 10 years. And I think it's going to keep growing because women are realizing the
benefits,
the benefits and the problems we have with contraception.
Gerard, one last question from me, and that is, I know it's been a while since you lived in Europe, but one thing that I've kind of picked up in teaching and promoting TeenStar is that there's much more openness, I would say, in Europe and South America. They don't seem to have as many impediments, you know, to talking about fertility and fertility awareness, as opposed to here in the United States. And I wondered if you've noticed any cultural differences in how this information is received.
Yeah, it's a little hard to say. I've lived in the U.S. for 31 years now, but I keep an eye on what's happening. I think the movement in terms of the fertility awareness movement is a little bit behind in Europe because the socialized medicine and then the system has been more established and so you know it's I think catching up very fast at the same time and there is I would say there's still a little bit of a difference because in the US where maybe there's this Puritanist culture still where it's still taboo and there's maybe, you know in France a little more openness to speak about the body in a natural way so I think that's why it probably is going to catch up pretty fast.
Yes.
But it's behind in terms of the time.
As you mentioned, the latest research came from Chile, you know, and then we have a TeenStar International Conference every year, and it seems like there are more attendees, you know, from Europe and South America, which I'm delighted. I just want to get more of us there too. So.
Awesome. Well, Gerard, we're about 3 minutes until your next appointment, so we have about 3 minutes left.
Right.
Would you share where someone can learn more and maybe how to reach you, like maybe the website address or you know, how might someone look up, you know, get more information as this has piqued their interest?
Yes. So the main website is naturalwomanhood.org, and that's where the magazine is, and you'll find all the articles and other, you know, some guides. We also have their get help button or tab that leads to doctors all over the U.S. and beyond who provide this restorative reproductive medicine approach. We also have in the get help, find an instructor to find people who teach natural family planning of different method or fertility awareness. So it's Creighton, Billings, FEM, couple to couple league. So we have a lot of resources there. So that's information. Then I talked about the Period Genius. So it's on our website, but you can also just do periodgenius.com or periodgenius.org and find it. And then the Cycle Mindfulness Club's information will be under Get Involved. And you at the bottom, there's a button that says Cycle Mindfulness Clubs, and that's where the information about the clubs is. You can email us at info@naturalwomanhood.org. And at the bottom of the website, too, there's a phone number for if someone wants to reach us.
And Gerard, folks can subscribe to your online magazine, right? And get it.
Absolutely, yes. We have over 15,000 email readers that can. So we send out an email. We have three new original articles every day, every week. Not every day, not yet. But we have, yeah. So we have an e-news for that. People want to stay plugged into most up to date information about women's health, again, along the lines of vision and anthropology that is supported by, the Christian values of, respecting women, respecting the body, respecting life.
Amen. Awesome. Well, thank you, Gerard, so much for being on here. Suzanne, would you wrap up our podcast by closing us in prayer and praying for, the Pregnancy Clinics and the leadership that's listening along with Gerard and his ministry and work?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. What an honor, Jacob. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with gratitude for life, life at every stage, from the moment of conception until natural death, where hopefully we return to your loving arms. Please bless us. Please guide us. Please show us the way through your grace, and unite us in this wonderful work of preserving your astounding creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Very good.
I was living so long. Made of stone, couldn't do it on my own. I fell before the throne. Redemption every day, for me the debt was paid. His life he freely laid down to face the grave. If your heart is filled with pain and all you see is rain, turn to him and pray. Lead me on my way home. Oh. Young and lost, and Jesus paid the cost. He died upon the cross, and now he is my boss. When you feel a pain and all you see is rain, turn to him and pray. Jesus, light my way. Oh, Jesus, light my way. Jesus, light my way. Up above, redeemed us with his love. He died for all of us, the lion and the dove. When you feel the pain and all you see is rain, turn to him and pray. Lead me on my way when our hearts are filled with pain and all we see is rain. We turn to him and pray. Jesus, light our way. Oh, Jesus, light our way. 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 Oh, Jesus, light our way. 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 Jesus, light. light on.